Hi, welcome to the Cairns Writes podcast, home of science fiction, fantasy, and horror author Michael Cairns. Me. If you enjoy what you hear today, you can find more at cairnswrites.com. In episode 1 of Life Without Tumblr, Scarlett discovered she had a control freak for a computer, her mum had a spellbook, and she met a slightly smelly homeless guy called Martin. Life Without Tumblr, episode 2. Good point. She looked at the book, the creased yellow in colour, and wondered whether there wasn't a whole bunch of stuff about her mum she should know. She flicked through it, through pages of the Epileptic Spider School, and shook her head. Hang on, how do you know? He was gone, smell and all. Damn it, how did he do that? This was like some weird, scary movie. The rain started up again, drenching her in seconds as she ran for the house. It was quiet and cold and already smelt empty. She'd only been out for an hour or so, but the absence of Mum was weird. She never left the house, like, ever. Scarlett sat on the couch and stared out as the rain fell harder and harder. Then she shrugged and walked upstairs. She got as far as the door to her bedroom when she remembered about the computer, swore, punched the doorframe, and slouched back down to the lounge. What was she supposed to do now? She pulled the book out, cracked it open, and kept reading. The handwriting gave her a headache. It wasn't so bad when it was on shopping lists, but she had to squint and follow the line with her finger, which, quite apart from being, like, really degrading, was just annoying. There was plenty in there about men. For the enriching of one's relationship. For the strengthening of one's private life. Ew. She closed the book. Where the hell was Mum? And when was her computer going to stop being a dick and let her back in? And what was she going to eat for dinner? She moseyed into the kitchen, poked in the fridge for a while, then closed it and went for the bread. They had jam and bread, so she'd live until the morning at least. The rain got harder. Back in the lounge, she flicked on the TV, watched some stupid people doing stupid things, and turned the sound down, reaching again for the book. She was two-thirds of the way through it when she found the page. For the release of the demon as Galerend. And then, in smaller letters, like a genie, three wishes. Scarlett knew very little about all this stuff. Aside from that, you know, it existed, which was more than she knew this morning. But she did know that anyone called a demon probably wasn't going to grant you many wishes. With a shake of her head, she turned the page. With a yelp, she threw it across the room and grabbed a pillow, holding it before her like a shield. Okay, that was just too weird and creepy and not at all right. She stopped talking and stared at the book, hands shaking where she gripped the fabric. It stared back, and she made slow, small steps toward it, pillow thrust out in front. She had taken only a few steps when she looked at the pillow, scrunched up her face, and threw it behind her. She scooped the book up and turned back to what she'd seen. She squeaked this time, but kept hold of it. The page was filled with a picture, so lifelike it was horrible. And it was horrible. It was Mum. Only Mum was surrounded by thick iron bars, and in the shifting darkness that lay around the edges, she could see dark stone and smoke and flickering shadows. Mum was scared. One hand holding onto the bars as she looked at something just past Scarlett. Then, and she would swear to this a million times, the eyes moved and suddenly her mum was staring at her, out of the book. The mouth moved, no sound reaching her, but she could recognise "Help me" any day of the week. She turned the page, quickly, ignoring the trickle of sweat that ran down her temple. On the next page, put there, she thought, through no coincidence, she found... for the rescuing of those trapped. That was just bloody typical. This was like some crappy moral dilemma rubbish they'd spoken about in school. Do you A, face certain death to rescue your stupid greedy mum, or do you B, Put yourself up for adoption in, like, one of those really nice places in Chelsea or Kensington or somewhere. Decisions. She closed the book, looked at the TV, and abruptly turned it off. Okay, so this isn't actually real, so trying the spell can't do any harm, right? She knew she was lying. Magic was real. That her mum had realised that before her was just embarrassing, but no one else needed to know. So, doing the spell, assuming she had the ingredients, could very well wind up with her in a cage just like mum, and there was a good bet they didn't have any Wi-Fi where she was. Maybe, if she went to sleep, she'd wake up with mum shouting at her about school, and all would be well. She looked at the book, then placed it carefully on the corner of the sofa where she'd found it. Then she closed the curtains, a creepy stalker homeless dude, went upstairs, got changed, got into bed, and closed her eyes. This was weird. What did you do at night when you didn't sign off from Facebook? What about all the people who didn't know she was going to bed? With considerable effort and more than one deeply felt sigh, she drifted slowly to sleep. Her eyes cracked open, the grey dawn light badgering her to wake up. She tried to ignore it and rolled over. Her eyes lit on the computer and came fully awake, and with a smile she hoisted it onto the bed. Flicking the power on, she logged in. The screen went blank. Still not kidding, go away please. Ah! With a shout she dumped it on the floor. Not too hard though, that would just be stupid. And flumped back onto her bed. Okay, any second, mum was going to start shouting. Any second. With another huge sigh, she shoved the covers off and staggered into the bedroom. Good lord, what strange creature is this? Oh no, hold on, that's just me. Shower and make up quickly, please. Don't make me look at that. She emerged, feeling slightly better, and only marginally less hideous, and wandered into mum's room. The bed was empty. With one final sigh, she stomped down the stairs and checked the rest of the house before meandering into the lounge. The book was waiting for her. She turned to mum's page, winced at what she saw, then turned to the next one. She'd need to go to the shop to get a couple of bits, but there was nothing too strange. She shrugged on her coat and headed out. She was just leaving the co-op, weighed down with two bags, featuring a reasonable mix of spell ingredients and microwave food, when a hand brushed against hers. Creepy homeless guy waved a filthy hand at the bags. Some interesting things you've bought there. In my experience, combining some of them might lead you to opening a gateway to somewhere you might not want to go. What is it with you? Stop looking at my stuff, Jesus. And anyway, I don't really have much choice. Your mum is like hotter and way cooler than yours, all right? He smiled, revealing a remarkably good set of teeth, and held his hands up before him. Please, let me finish a sentence. Okay, so, I was suggesting that the gate you intend to open will lead you somewhere I wouldn't class as being particularly suitable for a girl of 16. So how about I come with you? She looked at him. Either he intended to do nasty stuff to her, or he was completely mad. Or both. How did he know she was going to open a gate? Who are you? He nodded, smiling as though she'd asked the right question. My name is Martin. Though I have been called other things in my time. Bet you have. I have been here for some time, long before your mother and her friends began dabbling in things they would have best steer clear of. His voice had changed, becoming clearer and less mumbly, and he was standing straight now. He was actually quite tall and looked possibly quite fit in a... Oh, no, really not ever. What was she thinking? She shrugged at him. Don't care, really. Come if you want. I'm not sure I want you in my house, though. He nodded and fell into step beside her. They walked in silence back to the house, her with her shopping, him with a huge bag of rattling cans and random bits of material. When they reached the front door, he stopped, and she looked back at him. Okay, probably not completely mad. Still a bit smelly. She sighed and held the door open, and he nodded again and stepped in. They entered the lounge and he took the bags from her, rapidly sorting out the things she needed, giving the crap junk food dirty looks. She ignored them, grabbing a pizza from him and going into the kitchen. She stuck it in the micro, and by the time she went back into the lounge with it on a plate, the ingredients were open and he was busy spreading them across the floor. He waved the packet of sage at her. "Did you get any matches?" She shook her head and took Mum's lighter off the TV table. He nodded, opened the sage, and rolled it into a tube that he tied tightly with string. She sat on the edge of the sofa, watching him work. She had expected shaking hands, but he moved like he had done this before. Lots of times before. She was only half done with the pizza when he straightened, clicked his back and turned to her. "Are you ready?"
"What, like, right now?"
He nodded. She sighed, placed the pizza to one side and stood.
"Yeah, suppose so. What do I do?"
Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you liked what you heard, you can find more at cairnswrites.com and come back here in a week for the next installment.